that's like obliterated and distorted. Mm-hmm. Dead Boys. It's a podcast about the history and culture of death and decomposition. My name is Dorian. With me, as always, is Max. Max, it's the holiday season. Are you having a good holiday season?
So far it's been fine.
Just fine?
Yeah, I'm not a big holiday guy. I don't know. I don't like the end of the year.
Bah humbug, he says.
Yeah.
Big old Scrooge.
Yeah, you know, we're in right now the maelstrom of all the stuff you got to do, and it's a lot. And I like routine.
Yeah.
So when, like, I go to work one day and then have 2 days off and then go to work for 2 days and then go back to work for one day, it's just goofy. It throws me off.
It's kind of aggravating.
Yeah.
I understand that.
But it's good. People are happy. I don't want to be a big bummer.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's my thing is I can't stand the holidays either. I like the actual day, spending time with family and whatnot. But just all the lead up and the shopping and all of that, it drives me crazy.
Yeah.
But I don't want to ruin people's good vibes. I do want to say I'm fucking sick of Christmas music, though.
Oh, absolutely.
It's drilling a hole into my brain.
Uh-huh.
And I want to die.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to die. But that was an extreme statement.
Do they play Christmas music at the coffee shop?
Yeah. The coffee shop where I work, I distinctly remember Thanksgiving Day, going in, and I'm like, I open the shop at 5 a.m., so I'm like, a little groggy, a little grumpy already.
Yeah.
But the Christmas music is already blaring. They wasted absolutely no time. Just upon it becoming Thanksgiving Day.
Ugh.
It's like, and I'm in there just like slamming coffee pots into the coffee maker, like, man, fuck this.
Just slamming like carafes down.
Raging by myself, alone in a coffee shop.
When I worked in the mall, it was a lot like that.
Yeah.
So we would have, like, carolers come in. That was bad.
That is the worst.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Carolers are the enemy, and they need to be stopped.
It's good.
Well, the people listening to this are done with Christmas already, so we should probably talk about the topic at hand. Good thing it has nothing to do with the holidays in any way, shape, or form, right?
Well, I mean, I thought that maybe we've done a lot of personal growth and learned a lot about ourselves.
Yes, we have.
This podcast.
Yes, we have.
And I thought that maybe it would be a nice thing if we could do some more personal growth for ourselves and maybe, like, learn to like the holidays. I don't like them either, so I'm in this boat with you. But
I suppose that there's room for us to grow.
Yeah.
I suppose I'm not right all of the time in being a curmudgeon and a Scrooge myself.
I took Katrina to a Christmas tree farm this year because she had never been to one.
Yeah.
And that was pretty fun. I got to saw my own tree down.
Nice. So that's a real tree.
Yeah.
Very
Yeah, nice. I'm really glad that she, like, had to go get the sled, because you have to carry the tree on a sled.
Okay.
And she went to go get the sled while I was sawing the tree down, which was good, because I was not good at it.
Oh, so she didn't see you at your most vulnerable.
Like, laying on the ground going, like, I'm going to stab.
Yeah.
But, you know, through all this, I thought that we could stand to enjoy the holidays a little more.
Yeah.
And I figured there's no better way to make us enjoy something than to integrate it with something that we already like.
What's something that we already like, though? Surely there's nothing that you and I have in common that we both enjoy talking about.
No, you're mistaken. No. No, it's death and spooky stuff, buddy.
Woo! I don't know what is wrong with me that I'm so sarcastic today. I'll get out of this funk.
Sass bucket.
That's why I need some holiday cheer in my life. Maybe you're right. Maybe we need to spend some time with some holiday cheery things, mix them on up with the usual morbid topics that we get into. I'm sure you'll lift me out of this funk. I'm optimistic.
I'm excited. I feel a little more cheery after doing this, so hopefully you will as well. So I guess before we get into it, we should do what we always do. Celebrate with a little holiday cheer, because every day's a holiday when you've got a seltzer water, because this is stupid.
You were on a roll.
I was on a roll. Because this is the Pre-Dead Boys Cracking of the Topic moment, brought to you by La Kroger and their fancy new camo cans.
It's kind of camo, isn't it? Yeah. Cranberry lime is kind of a holiday flavor. Cranberries, yeah. Was that intentional?
No. It's just the one I like the best, besides coconut. But Katrina doesn't like it when I buy coconut. So.
Okay. Marriage succeeds when you are willing to compromise. Even on the important things, like seltzer flavors.
What's your favorite line in Princess Bride? Do you know what mine is? Marriage! I've never seen The Princess Bride, but to me, The Princess Bride is a lot like Monty Python, where it's got a fandom of people who have ruined it by quoting every single line.
Yeah, I think it's good that we live in a society of memes now, because memes are the things that get overshared and repeatedly just run into the ground, whereas comedy
That's
movies
good to you.
Are not.
Okay. Oh, okay.
It frees up comedy movies to be kind of funny without everybody quoting them all the time.
Okay.
A little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, back in the day, as in with The Princess Bride, yeah, it was kind of steamrolled. It's a great movie. It holds up. It's very fun. I feel like you'd like it, but...
Christmas movie.
Is it a Christmas movie?
Uh-huh. My coworker told me that recently, because, like, when he's in his bedroom, there's, like, snow falling and, like, some presents in the corner, inexplicably.
Huh.
Very weird.
Well, shit. Maybe it's a birthday, and it's in January. You didn't think about that, did you?
Did not think about that. So let's get into this. So as a quick entree to the topic, I did Google Christmas and death to, like, you know, prep.
Yeah.
Which is, like, the dumbest thing I do every time. I sit down and I Google topic and death, and it never provides me anything that's good. But what this was, it popped up the Death Row Records Christmas album.
Oh.
Are you familiar with this?
I'm familiar with Death Row Records of, you know... gangster rap fame, but it's, I'm not, like, familiar with the fact that they had a Christmas album.
Snoop Dogg and Nate Dogg and Danny Boy and, like, all of the Death Row Records folks did, like, a straight Christmas album. Like,
wow.
It's not that goofy. There's a song about, like, when Santa came to the ghetto and stuff like that. But the other songs are, like, kind of sweet. And it's weird to hear Nate Dogg, like, rapping about spending time with his family and being happy about his Christmas tree.
Hell yeah.
But it's very cool.
I'm going to listen to it.
Yeah, they donated all the money to charity, so.
Wow, good on ya.
The cover is still Santa with a black hood strapped into an electric chair, so.
Oh, that's cool as fuck. Yeah. That's honestly very metal.
It's pretty tight. It's, like, weirdly sweet. And you know what else is metal?
What else?
The first thing we're going to talk about today.
I'm very excited about this.
Which is, oh boy, hey, Welsh folks out there, I tried. We're going to be talking about Mary Luda.
Mary Luda?
Mary Luda. Luda.
Lude?
Luda? I don't.
Luda sounds like we're still talking about rap music.
I don't. L-W-Y-D. Lud? Lud?
Lud?
Mary Lud?
Lud?
This is Welsh. People are pissed.
Feel free to email us, predeadboys@gmail.com, to tell us how wrong we are in pronouncing this. We would like help. Now, wait. Hold on a freaking second. Remember my Mary Luda Mark.
Mary Lloyd.
All right. Apologies. I just Googled to try and find the first video where it was pronounced. And the best that we can do is Marie Lloyd.
Lloyd.
Still disputing this, though. So feel free to email us and tell us how wrong we are.
So Marie Lloyd has been getting a lot of internet traction lately, as it does every time this year, mostly because there's like still screenshots of Tumblr posts, and those are a thing for some reason still. I don't know why.
It's the phantom of Tumblr past is just screenshots posted on Twitter.
That's it. It's wild.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically, Marie Lloyd is a horse that Welsh people use for caroling around the time between Christmas, December 25th, and New Year's. That sounds pleasant and nice.
Yeah, a horse.
A horse for caroling.
Cute horse.
Atlas Obscura has a broader definition, which begs to differ.
Marie Lloyd is a Welsh winter tradition featuring a festive skeletal horse spirit with a penchant for rhymes. The Marie Lloyd custom involves a group of revelers carrying a horse skull door to door and demanding entry through song. The focus is on the Marie Lloyd itself, a jaw-articulated equine skull decorated with ribbons and ornaments, plus a sheet draped over the person carrying it, giving the whole thing a ghostly appearance. Traditionally, when arriving at a house, a Marie Lloyd troupe will sing out a challenge to the people inside before performing a sort of call and response called a wunku.
It's as good as I can pick out videos.
All right.
Wunku.
Anyone inside the house is then tasked with replying in a rhyme scheme even wittier than the creatures. After the rhyme battle, the Marie Lloyd is allowed inside, where the players are given food and drink before heading out to darken someone else's doorstep.
This feels like it was made for, like, the modern internet.
Yeah, it definitely has an internet era sort of humor to it.
People keep going like, are you telling me that I just got a rap battle a horse and then I get free booze? And it's like, all right, like, come on.
That's what it is, though. It's a rat battling horse ghost.
That's very true. Well, I don't know, maybe not very true, but definitely not inaccurate.
Yes. That's the official pre-Dead Boys definition of the Marie Lloyd.
Things that are definitely not inaccurate. And that's all well and good. Photos of the Marie Lloyd are disconcerting, to say the least. You've got some there in your notes.
Yes, I do. I love them. I want to collect as many of these as possible. One of them has a very large, yellow, goldish, false eye kind of shoved into it. I really appreciate that one. It's very spooky looking.
Well, that's like an ornament that they just put in the eye socket.
Like just a tree bulb shoved in.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Just go through the concept of these.
Well, you've got the skull, as mentioned, and there's one photo that has several of these, and one of them has kind of painted decoration on it, on the cheekbones and whatnot, kind of running up the center of the head. Definitely these big bug-eyed bulb ornaments shoved into the eye sockets. Super freaky looking.
Uh-huh.
They've also got ears, which are not part of the skull of a horse, so I don't really... They look kind of real. Are they actual horse ears? Do we know?
All of them I could find have ears, which is very strange.
Okay. And those ears are kind of concealed under the drapery there, which is usually white, but this one with the really spooky looking one I was talking about earlier has a red velour sort of cloak.
It's nice.
And you can see in that one, it's kind of cute, the hands holding up the stick that are holding up the skull. It's very adorable. It's very freaky. It's right up my alley.
I think the old-timey photo is very good. Where yeah. It's like a small child standing in front of this horse skull that looks even spookier because it's just a white sheet with the skull coming out of it.
And an old lady is holding it on a leash. So I don't know if she's the master of the Marie Lloyd or what the deal is, but this specter is just looming over a small child.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't figure anything out if, like, the handler is a specific role. I think they're just kind of there.
Okay.
Leading it around like you would lead a horse.
Yeah.
But it's very, very cool.
Love it.
And as I was looking into it a little more, the background's kind of spotty, you know? Mm-hmm. I was trying to figure out, like, where this came from, stuff like that. Basically, it boils down to two explanations. It either has roots in a pagan ceremony celebrating the Grey Mare, or it has roots in an early Christian ceremony celebrating the Feast of the Ass. So here's the...
Can you say that one more time? Just get a clean read of that that feast. What was it called?
The Feast of the Ass?
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. That was good. It's not funny or anything. I wanted to get a clear read of it for the podcast.
It's not funny. It's not funny at all.
It's not funny. This is a very medical podcast. You may proceed. Now that we have adequately covered the Feast of the Ass, you may proceed with your notes.
You know, when I was in, like, Sunday school, and I was, like, a kid in my, like, very fancy Catholic church, like, on Sundays, yeah. They never let us learn about the Feast of the Ass. Understandably.
It's kind of a recent phenomenon, isn't it?
We're gonna talk about that in a bit. That's very good. But first, here's the pagan background, explained by Mare Williams at the Transceltic blog.
The Marie Lloyd is a pre-Christian tradition believed to bring good luck. Marie Lloyd translates as the Grey Mare. Horses were viewed as a sacred animal in the Celtic lands, and the horse has always been highly venerated and seen as a prized possession. There was a great bond between Celts and their horses. They believed that the care that they took of them was reciprocated, with the horse acting as a protector. This religious importance is witnessed by the many ancient images of the horse carved in stone and onto landscapes. They hold a significant place in stories of the Celtic gods and mythological tales.
I mean, I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, like you would have the horse goes around and then you treat it warmly. It asks to be let into your house and you're like, here, have some booze.
You give booze to this horse.
So after the horse comes up to your house.
Yeah.
And you have the song thing with it, you invite the people in and then you all share a drink or some food.
Right.
You know.
Right. But you're not giving a horse booze, right?
Not a real horse, of course.
Of course.
But, you know, you could see how this would be like, oh, yeah, you're caring for this horse spirit, so it treats you well in the coming year, and, like, all your horses survive or something.
Okay, yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah. It's a practice that kind of cultivates hospitality.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, it's very sweet. And then we have the Feast of the Ass.
Still funny to me.
And that's the Christian background explanation.
The Christian?
The Feast of the Ass.
Whoa!
So, it's a feast. A legitimate feast. It's got its own Wikipedia entry. It's got everything. But it's...
We're not making this up. This is not us being us.
I had to turn on Safe Search to Google, to Google that. But it celebrates the donkey that Mary, Joseph, and Jesus rode. When they fled to Egypt after, you know, Pilate was like, oh, we gotta kill all the babies.
Right. Herod.
Herod.
Yeah.
Keep it in. So,
okay. Yeah.
It celebrates the donkey that Mary, Joseph, and Jesus used to flee to Egypt after Herod was like, we gotta kill all the babies in Israel.
Right.
It's venerated, you know?
Yeah.
And it, you know, kind of makes sense. The explanation that I'm gonna have you read is from an 1896 book, The Marie Lloyd and Its Origin, by W. Roberts, who was a Welsh Catholic priest.
Okay, so he's an expert.
Yeah.
All right. In observing this feast, formerly it used to be the custom to prepare a wooden donkey. This was then placed on a stage, which was moved about on wheels and decorated with branches and flowers. The stage with its contents was then drawn towards the church by the people, going in procession and carrying yule branches in their hands. On arriving at the church door, they were met by the priest, who blessed the branches. The branches were henceforth looked upon as a protection against losses from tempests that year, in the case of those who carried them. All the revelers would bow, then they would all rise up and take the stage with the ass to church, where the ceremony was completed.
Take that ass to church.
Take that ass to church. I love it.
You could see how this would also be like a legitimate origin.
Yeah.
For this practice, because you have the folks going around with the horse skull, and then it's being like given gifts, and it's got like tinsel and branches draped on it. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
It's nice.
And man, I thought having bed bugs this past last month or whenever, I thought that was bad. At least I don't have to deal with tempests. That's an even bigger pest.
Yeah, I wonder how many tempests they really have in Wales. Apparently enough that they need to deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Ohio. They are really surrounded by water there. Right?
They are, but there's not like hurricanes in England.
Well, no, there aren't. But there are tempests, Max.
All right, that's fair. So, you know, it's a cool tradition. I think it's neat that the last excerpt mentions the fact that it's a wooden donkey.
Yeah.
And a lot of the current Mary Lud skulls are like paper mache, or they're made out of like, they're like 3D printed or something like that. They're fabricated.
Okay, they're not actual horse skulls very often anymore.
But the best ones are from villages that still use like the same skull year after year. And this this practice is really big in South Wales. It's apparently a huge hit there.
They love it.
They love it. And in South Wales, people will bury the skull at the start of the new year and then exhume it right before Christmas and just keep doing the same thing with the same skull year after year.
Okay.
Like you will have like a family skull or like a town skull.
Okay, so this is an authentic skull that they keep burying.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting because I know with this past year I've started my collection of bones. Or I guess it was last year, buying some stuff in Nashville. But I know that that's one way that's really effective to clean a skull is to bury it or to clean bones. Because you just let the worms and bugs take care of all the flesh and the, you know, grody stuff. So in a way, the most sanitary thing you could have done historically in old Wales was bury your skull every year.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, we're done with this for the year. You like put it in the wash, you know, get it cleaned up for next year.
Well, you don't want to do bleach because Jake from Jake's Bones has taught us. Thank you, Jake.
That's right.
Pre-Dead Boys hero, Jake.
Yeah.
It makes the bones all bendy.
Yep.
That's no good.
Nope. It can deteriorate your bones.
So you don't want to break the bones. Because you got to have them for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a nice, singing, happy tradition. And that's pleasant, and it sounds like a good time.
Yep.
But some things are a decidedly less fun time. Like the werewolves of Yule.
Oh.
Yeah, these are good. So in Romania, children who are born on December 25th, supposedly have a much higher chance of being werewolves later in life.
Okay.
I guess because Jesus is, like, petty.
And he doesn't want to share a birthday. He
doesn't want to share a birthday. That's, like, that's the legend.
Wow. Really?
Like, if you are born on Christmas, then God will curse you.
Like, how dare you decide to be born on Christmas?
Yeah.
Okay. Says a lot about what kind of God they believe in.
A very vindictive God who doesn't want to share his birthday.
Just a real petty-ass God. He's like, that's my birthday! You can't. Pick another one!
Just hold it! Hold the baby in!
Hold the baby!
And, like, you would think that sounds like a really old-timey thing to believe, but there's actually a 1961 British horror movie, and it's, like, real schlocky. It's called The Curse of the Werewolf, and this happens in it.
Okay. They stand by that born on December 25th thing.
Yeah. It was, like, an established enough piece of lore that you could put it in a movie, and people wouldn't be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Okay, so it was widespread enough knowledge, too, that people got it when they...
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
And this woman, I think, like, kills a werewolf or something, but then it comes back around and her child is born on Christmas Day, and she's like, no! And her son turns into a werewolf.
Awesome.
So, bad news for any friends out there who are December 25th babies.
I've got a couple friends who are December 25th babies.
Multiple? Really?
I can think of two off the top of my head.
Wow. Yeah.
One person I went to high school with and one I went to college with. The guy who I went to college with, you know what his name is? Jesus.
Jesus?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Is he literally unnaturally hairy?
Not very hairy. I don't think. I haven't really, like, taken a good look at his body hair or anything, dude. About it. But yeah, he was born on Christmas Day, and his name is Jesus.
That's fun.
Yeah.
The werewolves of Yule are very fun, and also kind of a punishment. But
it's kind of a fun punishment, though.
You get to be a cool werewolf.
Yeah.
They are probably based off of an older Christmas werewolf / goblin, gremlin, demon myth, which is the Greek myth of the Kolokentzaros.
Kolokentzaros?
Kolokentzaros.
Kolokentzaros. Okay.
How about you tell us a little about them? They are goofy little fellers.
The Kolokentzaros is a monkey-like demon that spends most of the year underground trying to chop down the world tree. However, between December 25th and January 6th, the demon is allowed to run free and terrorize those in the surface world. But similar to early descriptions of vampires, these creatures were obsessed with counting. A common remedy to prevent an attack by these monkey demons is to place a colander on your porch during the holidays to force the creature to waste time compulsively counting the holes.
Why do you think old monsters are so into counting?
I don't know. I don't understand it, but it's fucking hilarious to me. That, like, a vampire or a Kolokentzaros could be chasing you down, and you just drop something. They're like
some salt?
Fuck! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. That they just compel. They can't help, but they love to count. That's still one of my favorite revelations of our vampires episode that we did last year.
Is the, like, count?
Realizing that the count from Sesame Street is actually maybe the single most accurate in terms of culture and lore character on Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Like, there's actually a reason why he's so obsessed with counting things. That's still incredible to me.
It's good.
Go back and listen to that episode if you haven't.
It's very fun. And, you know, I think this is kind of a goofy... Like, my family's got we do the St. Nick thing, which is a Polish thing where you leave your shoes out on, like, December 17th or something, and then they get filled with candy overnight.
Oh.
That's fun.
Okay. And I didn't know about that tradition. That's fun.
Well, it's cool, you know?
Yeah, it's cute.
And I think the Greek tradition of just being like, I'm going to put this colander on my porch is also very fun.
That's so weird. Maybe it was just a different time. They didn't have smartphones, so they needed something to occupy themselves. You ever see that meme that's like people in the bathroom before the age of smartphones? And it's like a guy sitting on a toilet reading the back of a shampoo bottle. That's what I think of with the colander. Like, what? The monsters just didn't have any actual entertainment. So they're like, well, maybe it was an opportunity for them. They were like, oh, I get to count something. Okay.
I mean, that's it. You get to help the monster out and then it doesn't attack you.
Yeah. Well, he thinks he's being helpful by helping you count the holes.
Oh, so he doesn't maim your family?
Yeah, he's being beneficial for you. He's pulling his weight.
That's nice.
It's very cute.
Was that meme is the person on the weird, like, work toilet blueprint that's, like, tilted forward?
Oh, God, that thing. we need, like, a... We need like a news segment of our podcast. And it should be death stuff and also things like that that are just fucking weird. If you don't know, that there's a workplace that has drafted up blueprints of a toilet that leans forward so that it's painful to sit on for more than a couple minutes. And I don't think I'd be able to take a shit on that. It looked so uncomfortable. I just think I wouldn't be able to produce on it. I don't know about you.
I don't poop at work.
But Max,
do not enjoy using the number two machine outside of my own home.
That's very fair. However, if I may counter briefly with the ancient law, boss makes a dollar, I make a dime. That's why I poop on the company time.
That's true.
And there's wisdom in that. There's a reason why that saying is stuck around. It's probably in the Bible.
It's in Proverbs 12.
Yep. Don't look it up. Just trust us.
Just believe us. So, you know, we've gotten all these like weird old counting monsters and stuff like that. But we would be remiss if we didn't mention maybe the biggest old holiday monster of all.
The king.
The king. I was trying to think of a synonym for king and I froze. Krampus.
Dun, dun, dun. Or maybe it should be like a... The king has arrived.
Like a hunting horn.
The Krampus has arrived.
Did you see the movie?
No, my dad was talking it up, though. He was like, you gotta watch this. It's fun. So I plan on watching it at some point. It looks very stupid.
It's fun.
Okay.
It's goofy. It's like, it's probably worth seeing.
Yeah.
Just because it gets you out of having to watch a lot of the other Christmas movies.
Yeah. And I gotta find a new contrary pick because I was one of those assholes that would make a point to tell people that my favorite Christmas movie was Die Hard. Yeah. And that joke is really played out now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still a great movie, but I definitely sound like an asshole now when I point out to people and start mansplaining to them that Die Hard is my favorite movie. Turned into a fucking dork.
Yeah.
So, Krampus, new pick. Don't even need to see it.
It's fine. It's got Adam Scott and like Toni Collette. It's
yeah.
Fun.
Probably the best horror movie that she's ever been in.
Wasn't she in Mother?
No, she was in Hereditary.
Hereditary, that's right.
And she got snubbed. She got snubbed. She should have won every award ever that year, but didn't even get nominated. Not that I'm bitter about it.
Who was in Mandy?
Nicolas Cage and Andrea Riseborough.
That's it.
Yeah. Great movie. Anyway, Krampus.
Yeah, it's a fine movie. I'm a little surprised you haven't seen it, honestly.
I know.
It's good, but I mean, you know Krampus, the groundwork, right?
The basics of it, yes.
And, you know, that movie is actually pretty faithful in its description of Krampus.
Oh, okay.
Which is neat, you know?
Yeah.
Here's the full description.
Krampus is a beast covered in thick brown or black hair. He has the cloven hooves and horns of a goat. His long, pointed tongue hangs out from between his sharp yellow fangs. He carries chains, which he frequently whips around. He also carries birch tree branches, which he uses to whip small children. Most nefariously, Krampus appears with a sack or a basket strapped to his back. This is to cart off evil children for drowning, eating, or transport to hell.
Woo! It's pretty brutal.
Yes, it is.
I like that those are your options. Like, Krampus either drowns you, eats you, or he's just like, man, you get into hell early.
Which would you rather suffer? Which fate?
Which would be, like, the best?
Well, yeah. If
probably
you had
being drowned out of all those.
You think so? I was going to say being eaten. Kind of going back to, like, maybe the green burial thing, you know?
You want to give back to Krampus.
Going back into the life cycle.
Of Krampus, like, continuing to wreak havoc on the world.
Well, someone's got to benefit from it. From my sweet, supple body.
I don't know if you want Krampus to benefit from a lot of things.
He sounds like a real bastard.
He's a real bastard. He's usually portrayed as, like, the anti-Santa.
Uh-huh.
But he's actually not. Krampus is not based in any sort of Christian tradition. It wasn't a thing that, like, sprung out of people being like, well, what if we had Santa, but evil?
Right.
You know? Like, what's the movie with Goldberg where, like, it's like Santa's sleigh, where, like, the whole conceit is, like, Satan is beat by Jesus in a curling match and has to be good for 2,000 years, and then, like, rearranges the letters in his name to Santa.
I have no idea.
It's great. It's got Goldberg. It's dope.
This is, like, Goldberg the wrestler?
The wrestler. Yeah, it's tight.
What?
He plays Satan, Santa. It's really good.
Okay, if any of you listening know what the name of this movie is, I need you to find it and tell me immediately.
I'm pretty sure it's Santa's Sleigh, but, like, S-L-A-Y.
Okay.
It rules. But, like, you know, that is not a factual movie, because that's not how Krampus came about.
Damn it!
He actually originates from Norse beliefs.
The name Krampus comes from the German word Krampen, which literally means claw or talon. In European paganist belief, Krampus is the son of Hel, the Norse god of the underworld. Eventually, his image was absorbed by the Catholic Church in Eastern Europe to serve as an evil counterpart to the good Saint Nick, the prototype for the modern Santa Claus.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because Krampus was an independent entity, you know? He just kind of went around and did bad things on his own.
Yeah, he was his own IP. He wasn't part of the shared Christmas universe.
Christmas extended universe?
Yes.
It's also really interesting. Krampus was so popular that the church had to co-opt Krampus.
Right.
I think that really demonstrates how ingrained Krampus is with the culture of the area. Because normally the church has a very bad habit of going in and being like, well, you just can't do this anymore.
Right, stomping it out.
You know.
But the Krampus was too popular to stomp out.
Can't stomp the crop. A lot of Alpine countries still have Krampus to this day in Christmas parades.
Okay.
And he's beginning to spread to the United States as well, because he's pretty badass.
Yeah.
So badass that he actually survived a fascist purge. So this is neat. So Krampus is big in Austria. The Austrians love him. So, like, Arnold probably does too, which is fun.
Okay.
But Austria has been in a political mess for a long time.
Right.
And before World War II, a fascist government arose and gained power in Austria.
Who?
Not the Nazis. They had, like, their own fascists.
Oh,
it was just some fascists.
Oh, well, then my goof doesn't work.
Go ahead. So this fascist Austrian government viewed Krampus as emblematic of this belief in superstition and irrationality, and so they tried to phase him out. They would, like, bust up Krampus celebrations. They would destroy masks that people had built. And these masks were, like, folk art, you know?
Right.
Like, you would have a Krampus mask that was passed down in your family. And the fascists were like, that's superstition, and just smash it.
Yeah, wow.
It's kind of crazy, but eventually, after World War II, the fascists were removed, and people were like, so we can still do Krampus, right? And they did. They just kept on doing it.
Hell yeah.
Which is, it kind of shows that people, like, really like Krampus.
It goes to show, you can't stomp the Kromp.
Can't stomp the Kromp. And this obsession with Krampus in Austria has even created some modern day issues. Austria has a pretty checkered recent history with refugees.
Okay.
It's not great there. But I found this story, and I thought it was pretty sweet.
In 2015, a small city in Austria named Virgin took in some Middle Eastern refugees. Among these refugees were 12 children. December 6th was Krampus's traditional night to roam around and abduct children. And as the day approached, local officials worried that the holiday display would frighten some of the new residents of the village. This is compounded by the fact that during holiday parades, actors dressed as Krampus will wrestle other actors to the ground and drag them off. To solve the problem, community representatives visited all the new families in the region and spoke to all 12 children, explaining the tradition. They were given their own masks and taught the event's history with the help of an Arabic translator.
I thought this was really sweet.
That is very... That took a different turn than I was gonna, than I was expecting. I was expecting something like they changed the tradition to kind of adapt to these new people. Nope. But in a way, I think that that's the best possible thing to do, is to just share your tradition. Like, let people in on the joke by, like, sharing it and letting them,
yeah,
you know, take part in it.
And that's the whole thing, is they were like, we didn't want to force Krampus on these families.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, if you've, like, already endured terrible, horrible things,
mm-hmm,
and these people were resettled to Austria in, like, September.
Right.
So, 2 months later, they're dealing with this, like, half-goat, bear, horned monster assaulting people in the street and, like, dragging them off.
Yeah, and snatching children, which is pretty touchy for people who are... you know, who are refugees. Like, that's probably hitting a little close to home in some of those situations.
Yeah. So, good on the government for doing this.
Mm-hmm.
The article did attach a picture of their Krampus celebration from this year. And...
good God. Okay, it looks like a... it looks like a scene from a Mad Max movie. If the Mad Max movie had more pentagrams and horns.
Yeah.
Is that a cannon?
It's like a trebuchet.
With a gigantic pentagram in front of it. Yeah. Like, it's a super industrial looking. What's on fire?
I don't know.
There's some gigantic fire next to this awful beast in his death wheelbarrow. This is horrifying.
Yeah. So, like, all props to that local government for being like, we should probably explain this,
yeah,
to these children that have never seen this before.
Well, it's probably, it's a really interesting way to handle that problem. There's 12 of these children, so it's a small enough number that you can do something like have one-on-one conversations with each of them.
Uh-huh.
And you're probably, if you're honest, you're not going to be able to easily reverse the culture's affinity for this practice that they've had every year.
No, yeah.
You know, like, it makes a lot more sense to even something like Halloween. Like, hey, listen, there's going to be kids going around in costumes. People are going to try to look scary. It's probably easier to explain that to a small number of people rather than force the culture to change entirely.
Yeah.
Especially when it's something like that where no one is actually being physically harmed or...
yeah,
like, taken advantage of or anything, yeah, like that.
That's also cool because they're, like, inviting these refugees into their culture.
Right.
Instead of being like, you guys stay over there. You know, this is, right, our thing. We don't want you to be a part of it. It's weird. It's our thing, you know?
Right.
So
they're inviting them to be part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very cool.
I like it. So I'm starting to warm up to the holidays now.
I like a lot of this stuff.
It's nice. But I figured we might need a little something else to put us over the edge. Luckily, we've got the city of Talca, Chile. And they're very sweet, very death positive, New Year's Eve tradition. It's very nice. It's new.
It's heartwarming. It's a new tradition.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, read this. It's very cool.
In 1995... a family experienced the loss of their beloved father. During a New Year's Eve celebration, they decided it was improper to leave him alone and jumped the fence of the cemetery he was buried in. They spent the night in the cemetery, decorating his grave and celebrating. While technically a crime to trespass in a graveyard, police refused to prosecute. Next year, more families joined in the celebration of jumping the fence to decorate the graves and ring in the new year in the cemetery. Eventually, the tradition got so popular that caretakers had to leave the fences open for safety reasons. City residents now pack the graveyard with food, champagne, confetti, and fireworks to celebrate the march of time. I fucking love this.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah, it is.
It like kind of chokes me up a little bit.
And once again, it's people not trying to stamp something out, but they're like taking something and making it part of their culture and making a party out of it.
And it's, you know, 25 years and it's becoming a thing, you know?
Right.
Which is neat. There's a photo of one of the graves that I've attached here.
And it's pink and covered with flowers. And there's a little cross made of flowers that's placed very gently on the grave. It's pretty. It's lovely. There's balloons.
Yeah. It's well, so nice. You know, it's like blue for the new year.
Yeah, it is.
And then the yellow and orange flowers in Latin America, there's a tradition that from New Year's Eve to New Year's Day, you're supposed to wear yellow underwear. And it means like good luck or good fortune in the coming year.
Okay.
So they couldn't do this, so they just decorated the graves with yellow and orange flowers, which is very sweet.
Yeah. It's a very reverent thing to do. That's also just happens to be very ostentatious looking and very celebratory.
Yeah. This town just kind of goes in and they just hang out and celebrate. And it's this way of bringing the whole family back together, you know?
Yeah.
That way everyone's not just like watching the ball drop or whatever in your own home.
Hey, man, don't shame me for my traditions, okay?
But, you know,
being a curmudgeon.
This city all comes together. It's like civic pride at this point.
Absolutely.
So do you feel a little better now?
I do. It's easy to lose sight of why we have holidays in the first place, especially in America. It's a frantic shopping war zone anywhere you go right now.
I went to Easton yesterday. That was a bad choice. Easton is like a city-sized mall.
Yeah, here in Columbus. It's a big old shopping center.
Yeah. I would be like gridlocked in the parking garage for like 10 minutes at a time. It was brutal.
My girlfriend works there.
Oh,
and
no.
She does. It took her almost an hour to get home one day this past week.
Good God.
Yeah. She's a champ. Just be nice to people, okay? In customer service.
Please.
Especially during the holidays. People are fucking savages out there. But yeah, that's the sort of thing that we get lost in. You got that. You got all these commercials that are just telling you to buy more shit, buy more shit.
Buy more shit so you can make your grandpa happy.
Right. Fuck yeah, buy an iPad because it'll make your grandpa cry with happiness.
I hate that.
Buy a Peloton bike because no matter what you look like or how much you weigh, you need to work out.
Your kid will never respect you if you don't.
Right. Yeah, it sucks. We're just entrenched in a culture of consumerism and every other value falls apart in the face of just this pressure to buy things for people.
Yeah.
Or else you're a bad person. And when you come back, you zoom out and you take a look at a lot of these traditions and how cultures handle things, you see a lot to admire. You see a lot of fun. You see a lot of people building community and sharing their culture with each other.
Yeah.
Here I was thinking we were just going to look at some funny, weird pictures of horse skulls and Krampuses beating children. But lo and behold, you snuck in a little holiday cheer there.
Gotcha. We're like the Grinch.
Oh, yeah.
Our hearts are growing three sizes.
Three sizes. I fucking love the Grinch, though.
It's great.
Yes. This is very cool. Thank you very much for putting this together, Max. This was another one of those episodes, too, that you just, like, you jam-packed it with so many different things. It's impressive, honestly.
Yeah.
Thank you for putting this together, Max. It's very enlightening and cheerful.
Absolutely.
And thank you guys so much for listening. We would love to hear what do you think about all of these crazy, borderline terrifying holiday traditions that people all over the world celebrate. Talk to us on Twitter or Instagram at PreDeadBoys. Email us predeadboys@gmail.com. Find our Facebook group. Just search PreDeadBoys Podcast. And join our Discord. You can message us for an invite to that. It's very active. We've been having a good time talking about cute animals and movies and stuff, as usual.
Colonel Sanders' grave.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Peacock, for posting a photo next to the Colonel's grave. Salute. Hey, if you want to support the podcast, the best possible way you can do that is join our Patreon. Patreon is a platform where you give a little bit of money every month, and in return, we give you some bonus goodies, like some behind-the-scenes posts of episodes in progress, or wallpapers for your phone or desktop. Or hopefully, soon, if we make enough money, we'll start doing bonus episodes. But Patreon is awesome. It's a way that we can keep this podcast completely free, not have ads, and have it continue to be this really cool thing, just thanks to the generosity of people who believe in what we do and give us money every month. And without you, our lovely patrons, that is how we would disappear. So thank you for that. Just want to give a shout out to Casey Knight, who upped her pledge from $5 a month to $7. It's very generous. I love these people who give more than the highest tier, like the highest tier for rewards that we offer is $5 a month. And now we've got a handful of people, including Casey, who give more than $5 a month. Not because they get more out of it, but just because they're very generous and supporting what we do. We really appreciate that.
Apology corner. I got Casey's state wrong in the body composting episode.
Ooh, yeah.
I was corrected on Discord. I am sorry. I am stupid and don't know what cities, what states cities are in. So that's my bad. Sorry.
We can tell you all kinds of things about the middle of nowhere cities in Ohio that are named after much larger internationally known cities like Athens,
New Rome,
London, Newark. But yeah, we're bad with even American geography, apparently.
What is Newark named after?
I mean, there's Newark, New Jersey, which is across the way from New York City. Look, Newark, New Jersey is much bigger than Newark, Ohio. That's my only point.
That's true.
Anyway, yeah, thank you. That's a good little note to correct.
Yeah.
If you want to support the podcast and you don't have money, that's okay. Just tell your friends about this podcast. And also, if you give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, it helps us out a lot. We really appreciate those things just as much as any financial contributions. Just
absolutely.
Any and every bit of support we get, we do not take for granted, and we really appreciate you. Our intro and outro music is The Song About Time by Bratkurs. Check them out at bratkurs.bandcamp.com or stream them on Spotify or wherever you listen to music. They're very good.
Very good.
Very good band.
I put a little, what's that fucking thing called? A playlist. I put a playlist on the Discord and in the Facebook group and I think on the Twitter as well of just songs I really liked.
Yeah.
From 2019.
Yeah, I haven't made my way to that because I don't use Spotify, but I think in 2020 I'm going to switch over to Spotify.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give up on Google Play Music, unfortunately, because everybody's using Spotify. You know what's really frustrating to me is I will listen to songs and I'll think they're really cool and I'll share them on Facebook or Twitter. Like I'll share a YouTube link or something. No hits. Nobody responds to it. Nobody cares. Meanwhile, people are making playlists and sharing them with each other and like having all of this fun with Spotify. And I'm like, fuck, dude, I should just switch over to Spotify. Just makes more sense. Also, now that I understand the whole behind the scenes with why Last Podcast on the Left is going to eventually be exclusively on Spotify. Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
Now that I understand like the business behind it and how cool Spotify is being with like allowing them to do what they do as they have been and not like, you know, helicopter over the production of their podcast and tell them what they can and can't do. I do respect Spotify as a company, at least for now. Maybe subject to change. But yeah, I might switch over to Spotify. That was a really weird, long explanation of that at the tail end of this episode. Also, take a tip from these holiday little tidbits we've shared with you. Share your culture with someone. Learn about someone else's culture. And try to have a good time with people. Because that's what the holidays are about. That's what New Year's is about. It's just making memories with people.
Yeah.
And building cool relationships. People. Yeah. It's not about buying shit or getting blasted on New Year's Eve in some weird overpopulated bar. I mean, if you want to do that, it's fine.
It's your prerogative, not my prerogative.
Not us. We're shut-ins and recluses. Yeah. We'll be with our significant others and then like maybe two or three other people probably.
Yeah.
Tops. But yeah, take care of yourselves out of there, and thank you for making 2019 another really fucking sweet year for this podcast.
Absolutely.
It's been really cool to watch this thing grow, and we hope we continue next year.
Yep.
Anything else you want to say to people before we sign off? It's not really with a goof or anything. Sorry, I was kind of serious and earnest.
No, instead. I'm just grateful for all the support we've gotten over the year.
Yeah.
It's nice, you know?
Absolutely.
It's cool.
2019 was an award-winning year for us, too.
It was.
Let's hope for even more awards in 2020.
Want more gold.
More gold. That's what we're about.
I'm not resting until I get a ruby.
All right. Max and Dorian here reminding you, you're going to rot. You're going to rot. Why did I say it like a question? Doing great. Don't touch me.